Hello, and welcome to The Check-In, where we gather each weekday on KBIA for community connection and conversation over the airwaves. Thanks for checking in with us today. So most of us listening and gathering here today have seen firsthand the various stages of this coronavirus pandemic unfolding. We've watched as businesses close, as streets and campuses empty. We've watched our world physically change around us. But for people who are incarcerated, this crisis has looked a lot different. People who are detained in Missouri and elsewhere are largely at the mercy of their environment and whatever it is that's happening inside prisons. Nationwide, nearly 9,500 inmates have tested positive, according to reporting by the Marshall Project. And they're reporting that that number of infected prisoners in the nation is doubling each week. Given the widespread shortage of COVID testing, especially in prisons, that is probably an undercount, they say. And in Missouri, 24 inmates and 13 Department of Corrections staff members have tested positive, and one inmate has died. To curtail this spread, the Missouri Department of Corrections has implemented precautions. So joining us today, we're going to be talking with Department of Corrections Director Ann Preseith about some of these initiatives, as well as persisting challenges faced by inmates, corrections staff, and recently released offenders during this crisis. So we will go to Director Ann Preseith shortly. She's going to be with us over the next half hour. You can join the discussion too. Do you or a loved one have experience in Missouri's justice system? Are you worried right now? Do you have concerns about disease transmission within corrections facilities that you'd like to share with us? Do you have questions or comment for Director Preseith? She has been enacting several initiatives. I'm going to go over what some of those are really quickly before she joins us. The Department of Corrections has recently limited contact with inmates. They're preventing prison employees from entering facilities while they're sick. They're disinfecting shared spaces more frequently. There are many things on the Department of Corrections website that they're doing there. Unfortunately, this is also impacting families. They're having to limit family contact with prisoners, but they have gone into some special operations with providing phone calls, emails, and things, just doing things differently. So there's a lot they're taking on right now with the Department of Corrections just to make sure that they're able to face these numbers that, as the Marshall Project says, are rising all the time. We will be talking to Department of Corrections Director Ann Preseith. We'd also, of course, as always, like to hear from you. Do you have concerns about disease transmission within corrections facilities? Do you have a loved one that's involved in justice in Missouri, either as a worker or as a detainee? By the way, before we talk to Department of Corrections Director Ann Preseith, we will be talking with Mataka Askari. Mataka is a peer support specialist and advocate in the community. If his name sounds familiar, it's because he's talked with us before. He has been on the Missouri Health Talks with reporter Rebecca Smith. He serves as a peer support specialist and advocate in the community. And he's done a lot of work with people reentering society after being involved in justice department and serving time. And he himself has also served time in Missouri. Now he works to help others reenter the community successfully. Mataka has talked with us several times before, and he will be joining us as well as Department of Corrections Director Ann Preseith. So we will have them with us shortly. We are getting them on the air. Director Preseith, are you with us?
I am. Hey, Janet.
Hi, and thanks so much for joining us today. And Mataka Askari, are you with us as well?
Absolutely. Director Preseith, how you doing?
Good to hear from you. We're good. How are you?
Good. Everything is beautiful.
Well, good. Thanks for your patience while we got you on the air here. I was able to give you gigantic intros while we got your line working. Mataka, let's start with you. Your work as a peer support specialist with Connections to Success. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is that you do and how it's changed by the current pandemic?
A lot of people may not know, like, Mataka is not my birth name. My birth name is Michael Eames, but I go by both. I just wanted to clarify that. And Connections to Success, I've been doing reentry work prior to Connections to Success. I was actually part of Connections to Success's first inaugural class in the Missouri Department of Corrections in 2018, right before I was released. So I've been a beneficiary of some of the resources that they have. And that's why I believe in the program and its effectiveness. So what I do is I connect people who are reentering into society with resources that will help them transition more effectively, connect them with jobs, help with clothing, rent, food, those basic needs and those things that will allow them to effectively transition from prison to society more. But the most important part, in my opinion, is to model what recovery, what reentry looks like for the participants in the Connections to Success program, because as you said, I did 23 and a half years in prison. I came home. I wanted to be able to do something to help my peers who were locked up with me, who were coming home, not have as many obstacles and barriers to face when they got out. So I got some training with the Missouri Credentialing Board and became a certified peer specialist. And not only have I been in the community advocating, but like I wanted to model what reentry looks like for my peers, because they need to see somebody who is not only benefiting from the program, but is living what reentry looks like and is progressing as a result of the help that I get and the direction that I've taken.
All right. And that's, so, yeah. That's, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead, Mataka. Finish, please.
So since COVID-19, you know, things have changed. Usually I did a lot of face-to-face outreach. Like, that's not what's going on right now. However, Connections to Success has come up with a bunch of innovative strategies. We try to connect participants with resources. And if they have no way to get those resources, we have an option to be able to go pick the resources up and do porch drop-offs. We can connect via various forms of technology, video calling. Some people who don't have phones, we can use Facebook. So we are trying to stay connected to make sure that they have the resources necessary. But not only the resources, the moral support is important, because a lot of people are struggling. And so to be able to have people who you know that genuinely care and call and check with you on a regular basis to make sure that your well-being is maintained, then that does a lot and helps encourage people to reach out and let us assist them with the support that they need during this trying time.
Yes. And during this time, Mataka, are you finding that, what are the specific challenges that this crisis and doing what you do during a pandemic? I understand that some of the reentry services have been postponed or on hold right now. Are you finding that, or are you still moving along with what you're doing?
Absolutely. Some of them, there's been, right now, there's been a lot of changes. Some of the reentry programs, some of them, like the Reentry Opportunity Center, for example, they don't just do walk-ins anymore. Everything is by appointment. But for me, right, the most challenging aspect of it is being able to get out there and interact with my peers. Because
yes,
it's one thing to call on a daily basis. It's one thing to be able to connect via video call. But it's another thing to be right there and feel
right,
that human connectedness. And so in a lot of ways, I feel like that is the greatest challenge, just to lay eyes on each other and say, hey, I'm here for you. They know me. They know that I've been through things like this. And so for me and for them, I feel like that's the greatest barrier. Also, as people still continue to struggle with the things that they were struggling with prior to the COVID-19 and this being enhanced by COVID-19, some of the resources that were available to them are not available anymore. They're suspended pending
okay,
the outcome of this situation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mataka, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to hear
Absolutely.
Your voice and great to hear about your work. I hope you'll come back. And if you're even if you're available now, we might keep you on hold for a little bit in case you want to weigh in.
I can stay for a second.
Okay, thank you so much, Mataka. Let me just remind our listeners, you're listening to our noontime check-in here on KBIA, The Check-In. We're speaking with Department of Corrections Director Ann Preisseith about how Missouri prisons are managing this pandemic. What's being done to prevent transmission between prisoners and staff? Do you have questions for our guest? Do you or a family member have experience in Missouri's justice system? You can join our call at 573-882-9136. Director Preisseith, thanks again for joining us. You know, given the numbers that we were talking about nationally, let me just ask, how worried are you about our detainees and prison workers in Missouri?
Well, Janet, I can tell you it is something that has occupied nearly every conversation for a core group of us every day, all day, for the last couple of months almost. And, you know, I'm really very proud of my team. I think we have been proactive in a lot of the things that we have implemented. And we just count our blessings every single day. But we're following the trends of what's happening in different places across the United States. And really what we're seeing happening is very similar to what's happening in our own institutions and how we manage, because there's not a one size fits all. So every state is different. The setup of prisons are different. And so we've tailored what we've done in Missouri to what are the things we can do, what are the things we've identified, and then we've made each plan specific to each facility because they're all different.
All right, that makes sense. Let's hear a little bit about how you're tailoring those, Director Preisseith. I just want to say we're getting a call or two coming in, and we want to go to any calls that we have here in a few moments. But let me just get from you first, Director Preisseith, how are you tailoring things in the prisons? What does that process look like?
Right. So first of all, I'd tell you, Janet, thank you for going to our website and looking at all of the things that we had laid out. And you really hit on a couple of the key ones. One of the big ones is this viral containment plan that we had each of our administrations at each facility develop. And they brought in different staff members to really identify what is the best way for us to work to keep this virus out. And if it gets in, how are we going to manage then? And so what we did was we focused on cohorting the housing units so that we could really reduce the amount of what we call cross-contamination between staff and the offender population. We could really reduce that and keep it as minimal as possible. So as part of doing that, we implemented that housing units stay together. And it's really important for the listeners to understand this is not lockdown. This is not a security issue. This is something that we've approached that, look, staff, offenders, we are all in this together. And so we've been communicating with our offenders like we've been communicating with our staff. I've sent a message or two to them. The director for prisons has sent a couple messages to them. So we're trying to keep them involved and aware of what's going on. And one of the things that I make sure to tell people, this is something we're doing for them, not to them. And part of what it includes is limiting the movement that they can do around the prison grounds. And it's really restricting the number of people they come in contact with, because that is what we're finding is keeping them the healthiest at this point. So we're reducing the number of people that are in the dining room at one time. A lot of our tables are set up for four, so we allow two people at a table rather than four. We're cleaning the area with men and women from that particular housing unit so that they're cleaning their area and following very strict guidelines, and then everyone returns to the housing unit together. That's one way that it helps to keep people from coming in contact with so many others. We also have specific staff assigned to specific housing units. So you take teachers, for example. Instead of 15 men from four different housing units coming to a classroom, we have one teacher going to a housing unit and coming in contact with the men in that particular facility. They're doing worksheets and checking in with them. So we've really been very deliberate about how we control who comes in contact with who.
All right. You're listening to The Check-In on KBIA. We're talking to Director Ann Presythe. She heads up the Department of Corrections from Missouri. She's leading the effort on how Missouri prisons are managing this pandemic, what's being done to prevent transmission. Do you have a question? Are you or a family member experiencing Missouri's justice system? Do you have concerns right now? You can join our discussion. Director Presythe, let's take a call really quickly from Quinn, who's calling from Sykeston. Quinn, thanks for calling into the check-in.
Hi.
Hi. Did you have a question or comment? Go ahead.
Yeah, my question was, there are a lot of people that are incarcerated now that have lower level offenses, probably maybe only a couple months left. Like, I feel like those people should be let out on house arrest or removed from the facility to somewhere where, you know, they could be with their families or something like that. Because who's to say that they still couldn't get infected, and probably you could lose a family member with only a couple months left?
Quinn, thank you so much. That's a great question. I'll keep you on the line for a minute while we hear from Director Presythe. Director Presythe, Quinn is echoing a question that many, you know, lawyers, attorneys, ACLU, and advocates have also called for the release of parolees and others with very limited sentencing to go ahead and have early release. What do you make of that? What are your thoughts on that, Director Presythe?
Well, I have several thoughts on it, but I will tell you, regardless of any thoughts, one way or the other, the Department of Corrections does not make the decision to release or to incarcerate anyone. That is done by the parole board, it's done by the courts, and in order to release people who are non-statutorily eligible for release, that decision would come from the governor. So the department really doesn't take a position on that at all. I know folks don't necessarily like hearing that, but that's not my role in this process.
Okay, so if you want to see the early release, take it up with the governor of Missouri. Quinn, any follow-up? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that answers that one. Another one I have is, she was saying that you had teachers going from one area mm-hmm. of the prison to another, mm-hmm. Teaching people. Are they wearing the proper PPE?
Okay, great. Yeah.
Because they're still coming in contact with different people.
Great question. Both questions I had as well on my list. Director Presythe, the state of PPE for both workers and actually detainees in Missouri's prisons. Can you give us a sense of that?
Right. So one of the things that we do is, first of all, we screen every person who comes into one of our facilities. So it could be a delivery person, it could be a teacher, it could be a correctional officer. Every single person who has business to come into our facility, we're screening them with the questions recommended by the CDC. And we're also doing temperature checks. And so that's our first thing. The second is we've provided all staff with a face covering approved by the Department of Health and Senior Services. We've also provided face coverings for our offender population. And then the third thing is we're following the CDC guidelines for proper PPE equipment for isolation wings and quarantine wings. So staff have been provided the proper materials to utilize, and we're confident that our staff are using the equipment the way it's designed, when it's designed, and that they are being as safe as possible. Because remember, We're all in this together. It's not us against them. No one person is more vulnerable than the other. So we're encouraging everyone to be as safe as possible.
Okay. Thanks, Director Priestlines, for that. And Quinn, thank you so much for your questions. I will say you might check out the Marshall Project if you have online access. That's somewhere where you can get information and maybe look into ways that you can advocate for early release, as you brought up. Thanks for the call, Quinn. Thank you. All right. Let's take another call. Director Priestlines, we've got Jimmy calling from Columbia. How are you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing good today. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling in. Did you have a question or a comment for us?
It's more of a comment, just kind of explaining some. Well, first of all, thank you for bringing up the topic in the first place, because it's something that I've already been thinking about. And something I worry about so much in a global epidemic in general, that inmates are going to be put on the back burner because they're inmates and they did something wrong and blah, blah, blah. Like, just my senior year of high school, my dad was in prison, and it wasn't for a super long period of time, but obviously it was really hard on him. And I'm thinking about it from the perspective of, like, inmates who really, really look forward to, like, their visitation rights, who are being affected by, and, like, just for the record, like, when we're talking about, like, how it's limited, like, how much they can go outside, like, that can be, like, a really rare thing sometimes anyway. And, like, like, having a nice day in general can be a rare thing sometimes. Like, so to have those really nice days and, like, these guys in there, they can't see their kids, wives, grandkids, whatever, et cetera. And, like, I know we're not going to be spending the money to do, like, a video chat for inmates and their family. Like, it's just, it's one of those things that's frustrating for me, because I know that we're doing the best that we can, and there's so much going on in so many areas anyway. But I just feel like this is going to be another example of inmates, like, being put on the back burner simply because they're inmates, like, not being treated like they're human beings. And it's really hard. I'm really grateful that my dad is not still in prison right now, let me tell you.
Jimmy, thank you so much. Thank you so much, as a son, for sharing your story and the story about the experience of your father. Let me just bring in Mataka Askari. If you're still there, Mataka, do you have any comment for Jimmy, who's just wanting us to keep in mind the experience that people are having while incarcerated right now?
Absolutely. So that hits me from two different ways. Number one, I did 23 and a half years in prison. So I know what a maximum security movement facility looks like versus a minimum security movement facility. Also, as we can go online and find out what facility is impacted, what correctional facility is impacted, my brother is in that prison.
Okay.
And so he is in the prison where they have tested positive. And so absolutely I'm concerned about him. However, he's told me about the precautionary measures, right? If I was there, I definitely would not want to be in a situation where I could possibly contract anything and then go to the visiting room and give it to my family, or vice versa. I would not want to be exposed to anything, right, because I know that this is temporary. And I know that we want to see our family, friends, and loved ones. But the idea is to be as safe as possible, because we don't want to be responsible for making anybody sick or potentially causing their death. Like, I get it, though, because I did time. I wanted to see my family. I wanted to be free. I wanted to be on the yard. However, I don't want to die. If I had a choice to choose the visiting room or the yard or death, I'm going to say leave the visiting room and the yard out versus dying or potentially dying or becoming sick to a way where I would have some type of chronic illness as a result of it. That, and I know that you're right. The video situation, I know also that they have a program implemented with tablets, and they're trying to develop a video situation. However, the DOC is, I know this because my brother is in Southeast Correctional Center, and they are giving them free phone calls twice a week, and they're giving them virtual stamps so that they can use their tablets to reach out to their family, friends, and loved ones via email. So they are putting plans in place to make sure that they have, in spite of the visits being postponed or temporarily canceled, they have the ability to reach out to their loved ones, to check on them, and to tell their loved ones how they're doing, to keep them updated. So,
all right,
like, man, this is tough.
That's great.
Tough, but I get it, though.
Yeah, it is tough. Everybody's got tough decisions. Mataka, thank you for that. Jimmy, thank you so much for your call. Let me go to Director Presythe,
sure,
who can tell us a little bit about more about what's happening at Southeast Correctional Center and also what the experience is for the people there and also their families where visiting and communications are impacted by this. Director Presythe?
Thank you. And, you know, I'd like to respond to Jimmy's comment because I certainly appreciate where he's coming from, and I would want him to know I'm not that kind of director. I'm not the director that puts the inmates on the back burner. Part of my role in being director is making sure that we're doing for those inmates what we can to help them feel connected to their families and their children. We have a wonderful program happening in Boonville with fathers and children. I am very supportive, and I'm so glad to hear Mataka talk about his brother's experience, because that validates way more than anything I could say. But we spend, from the beginning of this, the number one thing we've been talking about with our offender population has been visitation and what we knew that would do to the offenders. And just today, as a matter of fact, we started talking with our administration because we talk to our wardens daily to check in on how things are going and making sure that plans are working and making sure that we here in central office are helping them with whatever they need. But we're starting today, and we're going to work with our inmate councils and our staff that work in the visiting room for them to begin to think about what would safe visiting look like. Because I got to have the offender population buying into following the rules that they would establish so they can tell their family, look, if they let us start visiting, here's the way it's got to go.
Okay, and Director Presythe. Yeah, thank you so much for saying that. We've only got a few minutes left, so if you don't mind, Director, let me go to Andrew, who might be on a time-limited call because he's calling from Moberly Correctional Center. Andrew, what did you have as a question or comment? Thanks for calling us.
I'm sitting here in hold because of transfers are canceled, and I'm supposed to be in a 6-month treatment, and that's keeping me from my out date. So I've been so I'm wondering when the transfers are going to start. Are they going to when the treatments are going to start again, so that I can get into that, so I can get out of here before the virus gets in here.
All right, thank you, Andrew, for that question. I'm going to put you on hold while we take Director Presythe's answer. Director Presythe, Andrew's question about transfers. I know that you have been enacting some initiatives on that as well.
Yeah, that's been one of our big, that was part of our viral containment plan, because we didn't want to be moving people across our facilities and across the state. It was part of the containment plan. So we have been talking about that. And we've been communicating with the parole board. We don't have anything to share at this point about that particular process, but we know that there is a need and that we've got to get it going. But again, we're waiting until things are better and more settled with what's going on with the virus as a whole. But as soon as we know more about that, we will certainly let our offender population know and put something out on our website as well.
All right, Director Presythe, unfortunately, we are out of time. I have so many more questions for you. We've had a lot of voices, a lot of perspectives in this mix on the call today. Thank you so much for being one of them. Please come back, and we'll need to do this again because we need more time.
I enjoy talking with you, Janet. I always appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. All right. And thank you, all of you who called in to us today during this show. We're sorry if we weren't able to get to your call. Please continue listening. Check in with us every weekday here at noon. Whatever your situation is, wherever you're calling from, we'd love to hear from you. That's it for the check-in today. I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.